I'm here at the Bedlam with now Fringe Review Outstanding Award winner with the rest of his team, Tom Penn, who wrote the music for The Frantic Canticles of Little Brother Fish. There have been longer titles from this particular group, Babylon Theatre. And what I'm going to ask is, ask you a question to start with, before we talk about the piece itself, which is, Fringe Review sees a lot of shows in lots of different Fringe festivals. We see a lot of youth theatre, and we celebrate it. But quite often we're sitting in shows, and what we're celebrating is how alive these young people have become, that whoever's directed that, whoever's produced that, has brought out the potential in so many of those young people. But even when they've done that, often, as it goes with teenagers, half of it's still locked away somewhere. Maybe it needs to be, but it's not quite there. And at its worst, there's a lot of very reluctant, monotone people wondering why they've been forced to be on the stage. It feels like whatever is waiting, latent, to be awoken in these young people is awoken in whatever Babylon does. And I want to know how you do it.
Wow. Well, first of all, that's a really nice thing to say. Thank you. I think it's a testament to the school that they're at, first of all. So the company comes from a state-funded sixth form in Cambridge. And the gentleman, Richard Fredman, who writes the shows, is their teacher. So he's spent the last 2 years with them, getting them their A-levels, basically. And he expects the absolute highest from you from day one, and you start there thinking that you know everything, and he expects you to push yourself day after day. They devise, he gives honest notes, honest feedback, and lets you know how you can make better theatre from the start. So that's drilled into them for years. And we run the company as a professional company, so we spend 3 weeks rehearsal making the show. We do 12-hour rehearsal days, which can be quite a lot, but we are working as running a professional day, so we expect high standards from them. We expect them to bring energy every day. We don't expect them to come with experience at all. That's not the point, but we expect all of their energy from the start.
So what I'm, to see if I've got this right, because what he seems to be doing and what the school seems to be doing is it addresses itself to people's potential.
Yes.
And then dialogues with it as if it's there now.
Absolutely. So there is, the company is made up of students who have put in effort and shown that they care about working hard in theatre. It doesn't matter what they're going on to do next. It doesn't matter what they've done before. It's all about showing initiative and showing that they care about what they're doing. And we expect them to give absolutely everything, and we expect them to be able to carry on the Babylon name. Babylon now is in its 10th year, and when they start school, they see the Babylon show just out of Edinburgh. They read the reviews. The company only survives by the previous year because it's a rolling cast every single year. And so there is a lot of expectation. They understand that it's a real step up from anything they've done before, and that it's a real privilege to get to come to a festival like this and to show their work to audiences like this. For most of them, I think, in fact, all of the cast this year, none of them have ever done 6 performances of a show before in a row. None of them have ever before performed to an audience of strangers before. This is all brand new, and for them to be up here on a platform with professional artists from all around the world is an incredible experience.
And also, I mean, you must be aware, it could tour, but just because it could doesn't mean it has to.
Exactly, yeah. There is, we are yet to find a way of making it a tourable thing, and to be honest with you, I don't think it ever could, because the joy is that it is a celebration of the last 2 years of their lives together. They will go on to, some of them might go on to study theatre, some of them might stay in touch, I hope they do, but this is just the closing of this little chapter in their life that has been a very intense chapter, and whatever they go on to, I hope that Babylon, that the skills that being part of ensemble theatre, being part of devise theatre, the skills that gives you as a human being, are they far outweigh the benefits necessarily of having been to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival or having learned how to perform in a certain way. And I think it's a very firm belief of the school as well, is that that theatre and drama training in schools and education has a much bigger purpose than just creating a performer.
Now, you mentioned the word devise, and you also mentioned that this is written by somebody.
Yes.
I guess what I'm hearing is, I mean, it might be possible, but it seems like it will be harder to release whatever you are releasing so effectively, you know, in a classic just take on, say, Hamlet or A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. We've done some adaptations before, so there have been adaptations of Zola novels maybe 6 years ago.
A Babylon adaptation, come
absolutely. On. Absolutely. it was a full flavour of Babylon with Cockney washerwomen. So I think because we want the company to bring everything that they have with them, and we want the show to be theirs. It's the process is that they create a show, we help them glue it together, we feed them ideas when they're stuck, we take ideas from them and we turn those into stimulus for scenes, and then they devise it. The ideal process is that they come in, they give us lots and lots of material, we then play with it and give it back to them, and they get to see their words, their devised sequences, their characters. So all of the characters that take place in the play are formed through improvisation that they themselves do. Nothing is prescribed at all.
And that, I guess, enables it to form around each individual, does it?
Absolutely. The incredible benefit of having a teacher as a writer, he knows them. He knows them as actors, he knows them as students, he knows what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are. And one of the first meetings that we have every year when we decide that we're going to do another one is, okay, this is our cast, what are they good at, what do they need to get better at, or what would really stretch them? Because there's no point in us, there's a version of a Babylon show that could be quite easy. We write a show, we rehearse it for a couple of weeks, and we just bring it up here and it's fine. Or we could do a classic and we could just get them to learn their lines. They're all fine actors, but the point is that we want to put them outside of their comfort zones. We want them to understand that by taking risks in a rehearsal room, by stretching themselves and by putting themselves out there on a stage, on a platform like this, they will reap the benefits. They will get so much more out of it. So we specifically set challenges based on each individual cast member. What does this person need? So we never cast, say, oh, this person is a lead actor, this person is a great singer. We say, what does this person need? What kind of a challenge do they need to finish off their education at this stage?
Now, this particular show, I mean, there's been music in Babylon shows that I've seen before, but this one more than ever is the closest I've seen to what I'd call a musical, and also that the music anchors it.
Yeah, there are three of us in the creative team outside of the cast. So there's a writer, a director, and I'm musical director and composer. So I get 3 weeks to compose from scratch, and often using other existing material as well. We don't cast any of them as singers. We don't ask them to be able to sing when they join the company, but we challenge them from the very beginning. And because I think that singing is a very underrated and underappreciated tool on stage. I think a lot of young actors are able to stretch themselves physically, comedically, in a way that musically we don't feel comfortable doing. We don't feel comfortable just putting ourselves out there musically. So a real trademark of Babylon over the last 10 years has been using music to further the dialogue between all of the art forms. This show in particular has, because of the nature of the show taking place in a monastery, it sets itself up beautifully for that kind of music. And in the title, The Frantic Canticles, we thought we set ourselves little challenges when we first apply to the Fringe, in the hope that we'll meet them when it comes to rehearsals.
But this thing that it clearly releases in them, and you know, there's not a note wrong, and it's harmony, and it's sung out, you know, in such an impressive way. I was saying to one of the fellow reviewers who actually wrote the review, these young people are going to dine off this for the rest of their lives or be cursed by it.
It's true. I think, so in terms of their musical ability, it's just a case of expecting more from them than they expect of themselves. Musically, I don't think any of them expected to be able to do what they're doing. So at the end of the show, the show closes with them, with seven of them singing the Rachmaninoff Vespers, Bogorodice Dievo, which is the Russian setting of the Ave Maria. And I taught that to them on the first day of rehearsals, sort of expecting them not necessarily to be able to pick it up, and they did it, and they met the challenge. So we set them further challenges, and that's part of the fun.
But are you noticing that then, when they're off stage, even here in Edinburgh now, are they riding on that confidence and it feels sustainable, or are some of them going to crash?
I think it's a really sustainable thing. So from the reason that I still work with the company is because I was in the company back in 2008, and it was up in Edinburgh on stage that I thought, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life, because this is brilliant. I love this. I love the process, and I love what it has, the way it's made me feel about myself. My ideas are on stage in front of an audience. I'm coming off stage, and members of the public who I've never met are coming up and talking to me about my ideas, and that was an extraordinary feeling. So we see them up now in the festival. We all go home now. We leave them for the next three performances by themselves. And there is something new. There's a moment, a transitional moment for every Babylon company. When they start rehearsing, they feel like a new group of students, and I've never met them before, and I still remember last year's Babylon cast. And there's a moment on stage up here in Edinburgh where they transition into the Babylon company, and that happened this week, and it's extraordinary. They are now Babylon. I forget. I mean, I love all of the other casts, but we suddenly have a new company. This is what Babylon is for this one week up in the festival. And they carry that responsibility, and they know that they bear the responsibility for next year's company.
So just as a bit in the actual story itself, you know, you're launching all these little sailboats now and saying you're ready, and you're launching them into the sea to sail on their own for 3 days.
Yes, exactly. They are without an anchor now, and they've got to ride everything themselves. The challenges of the fringe, they are now getting to the point where they're tired, and they had a 6 o'clock tech, and they're getting reviews, and they're having to publicise their own show. They're having to deal with audiences of all shapes and sizes. They're having to deal with performances of all shapes and sizes. They're learning the things that we take for granted often as performers or as theatre makers.
So when they go back into their potentially more boring other sixth form work, what I know it sounds a bit of jargon, but what transferable skills are you hoping they're going to take back into life and back into their other work?
I think that a devising process, especially, but any form of theatre education can instill a sense of collaboration and a sense of patience. Devising it requires an extraordinary amount of patience, an extraordinary amount of sympathy and empathy for your fellow human beings, because one person's journey from A to B is completely different to another person's journey, but you discover gold by exploring the other person's journey. And if you haven't done a devising process, that doesn't make sense. And whatever they go on to do, they will have had this week and the 4 weeks of rehearsal where they became indescribably close to a group of people, a group of fellow students, came up to an international arts festival, won an award, which is just an extraordinary moment for them. And yeah, I really hope that they take that on to, most of them are going on to university, a few are going to gap years, and I really do hope that they take this with them and tell people about it, because they should be proud of what they've done. Regardless of theatre and careers and making a mark on the industry, they should be proud of what they've done as human beings, because it's an extraordinary thing that they do for us.
I kind of want to preserve the mystery for some reason, but could you just give us a little bit of a flavour of a Babylon rehearsal?
Yeah, absolutely. A Babylon rehearsal starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, normally with a couple of games of Foursquare, normally with a catch-up on how everyone's doing, always with a big vocal warm-up. We recap music, because the music is the thing that takes the longest to learn, so there'll normally be an hour and a half of drilling music. And then there are multiple rooms of play. So one room will have a couple of people playing with some ideas. Another room, there'll be a few people maybe making something, creating something. The director will be in one room running improv, running scenes, and we gradually pull it all together. The writer then moves between the room. Once we start to bring people into the performance space to rehearse, the writer is in there as well, taking material from them. He will then have an hour or 2 hour challenges to go and write by himself, and we'll bring back. So it's a constant dialogue between everybody in the room. There's the company creating at all times, the director feeding challenges. I'm in another room writing music, and then I'll bring it in and say, look, I've written this, it's not very good yet, but let's see if it might work. And the cast will say, oh, we like that, or that doesn't feel right, what about this? And I'll go away and write something new. The writer will then come back downstairs and say, I had a look at that improv that you did, have a look at this as a script, we'll sit and read it together, we'll give notes. It's an incredibly playful atmosphere. That's the key thing that we want them to understand, that you, on stage you are playing. The fellow cast members are your playmates, and you have to create a bond with them. And so we're trying to constantly nurture that atmosphere.
So final question. It sounds to me that though you write music and there is rehearsal, in the actual creation process, at the heart of it isn't strategy, at the heart of it is play.
Absolutely, there is no strategy whatsoever. So this year, myself and Alex, the director, and Richard, the writer, had not met before the first day of rehearsals since the Babylon show last year. We had agreed upon a title, we had agreed upon a blurb, but we come together and say, these are some ideas I've got, here are some ideas I've got. We put it to the cast, they start playing, and we start shaping it with having filled up on ideas and what we think it might be about. The title is really important. For those of you who have written a blurb for Edinburgh, the blurb is a challenge as much to yourself as it is for anybody else, because you might not have made the show. So we start to try and answer the questions that we set ourselves in the blurb and in the title. Why did we want to make that show? Why did we want to talk about this thing? What is it that we're trying to look at? But if it's not playful, then it's not a Babylon show.
Listen to these words, world out there. If it's not playful, it's not a Babylon show. No strategy, play. Tom Penn, thank you very much.
My